Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for tuning in on Friday for my guest hosts. And I'm back, though. I'm back. I'm happy to be here. And I think we're coming off of a very emotional weekend for the country. I think that goes without saying. Obviously, the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks were this weekend. And whether you were watching, you know, some of the ceremonies at the baseball games or you were watching the news coverage, the packages that a lot of these stations have put out there, some of them were really incredible, or just talking with friends and family. I had several different conversations over the weekend about where people were and, you know, the different stories people shared. And it was all very moving and sad. And, you know, it's still infuriating and everyone has their different takes and their different reactions. But I think for the most part, it comes with a lot of sadness. And there was a lot of stuff I watched over the weekend that, and there's been this debate for a long time about how much of the attacks should be shown, especially with young kids. And I remember I was in fourth grade. So then I remember afterwards, there was a lot of conversations about, you know, how much of the footage you should show on, you know, daytime TV. Is it because it's very upsetting for people? But I saw a lot of clips over the weekend, and I heard a lot of audio tapes between people in the buildings and the 911, the 911 callers. And it was a lot of things that I hadn't seen until this weekend. And it was really, really eye-opening to watch it 20 years later. And I hope everyone got a chance. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to watch, but I hope everyone got a chance to really take in something this weekend and remember that horrific day, because we say never forget, but what becomes increasingly more clear as time goes on and as we get these horrible takes from the blue check marks and from these morons in the mainstream media, you know, everyone tosses out the comparisons between 9/11 and January 6th, and It's so asinine. It is so completely disgusting and dishonest. And I'm not even going to read them. I'm not going to go through. Sometimes with these dumb takes, you know, I read them. I get a kick out of them. But in this case, it really just makes my stomach turn when I see people making those comparisons. There is no comparison. There's absolutely not. And if you can't understand why, if you think what happened on January 6th with people wandering into the Capitol and putting their feet up on Nancy Pelosi's desk and, you know, Ted Lieu grabbing a crowbar, oh, I'm sorry, a probar, and a guy in a blue suit picking up trash off the ground. If you think that is the same or comparable to what happened on 9/11, you're not a serious person. You're out of your mind. You're delusional. And you should really go back and you should listen to the Kevin Cosgrove tape of him calling and begging the 911 operator to please save him. He's too young to die. And then you hear him as the tower collapses. You hear him die on the phone. And if you can watch that, the Keith Olbermans of the world and all of these buffoons who think everything's a talking point and think everything's something worth tweeting, and they don't think twice about it and they send it out. If you can watch that and you in your heart can make that comparison, then you're helpless. There's nothing that any sort of sense or reason could do. And so I'm not gonna play a lot of that stuff because it really aggravates me. I have a very high threshold for stupidity, especially in the business I'm in, because a lot of what I do every day is listen for these stupid takes and play them. But I can't, my threshold is reached when it comes to this stuff, because it's so not funny, you know? Moms and dads were jumping out of buildings to their deaths, as you know, because they didn't want to burn alive. And it's just the disconnect of people who can look at that and go, but AOC said that January 6th was like being in combat. You know, I can't put us all through that. It's too dumb. It doesn't help anyone. And as much as it was an emotional weekend, it was also very strange when you think of where we're at now, 20 years later. It was strange that Joe Biden didn't speak. I can't remember if there was ever a time when a president didn't speak on 9/11, especially on such a monumental anniversary. I thought that was very bizarre. He was at the memorial at Ground Zero with his mask on. They all had their masks on, you know, Obama, George Bush, Jill Biden, Joe Biden. They all had their masks on. And it kind of made sense to me why he didn't speak, if I'm being honest, because I did see a video circulating of him going up to, I think it was a kid in the audience, and he was getting heckled by people. And when you look at what's happening in Afghanistan and what has taken place there, it makes sense why he's not being warmly received at these things. It did not go the way he thought. He thought this was going to be this massive photo op, and this was going to be, he was going to be the toast of the town. Instead, we have 13 U.S. service members who are dead, and everyone knows it was because Joe Biden wanted that photo op. So it makes sense why people are heckling him. And I think if he had gotten up and spoken, he might have gotten heckled, and then he probably would have lashed out because he doesn't have the self-restraint to think to himself, listen, you know, I might get heckled, but I got to keep going. He would probably get in a fight with somebody up there. So it does make sense, but it shows his incredible lack of courage as the leader of the free world can't speak on 9/11. That is really, really telling. And as he meandered around in his mask, talking about boxing and Robert E. Lee, it was kind of, and Rachel Campos Duffy actually said this over the weekend. Fox was playing they had excellent packages, really moving stuff. They had interviews with firefighters, and they did a really phenomenal job on Fox over the weekend. I was tuned in 24/7. And Rachel Campos Duffy was saying, you know, it looks so weak at a time where we need to look strong. Having him walk around with this black mask on his face and mumble into the microphone. And we'll actually play that cut, because this is the cut that really, we're going to call this the money cut of the day, because it's just so bizarre. This is Joe Biden talking to reporters, probably against his instructor's wishes. Cut one.
This idea that, you know, well, you know, what do you want to do with Biden? I want to box him. I should be so lucky. You know what I mean? But it is the kinds of things, or, you know, stuff that's coming out of Florida, stuff that's coming out of, you know, Robert E. Lee been in Afghanistan, you're the one. No, anyway, I'm telling you too much.
I really have no idea what that even meant, any of it. But what I can say is that usually on weekends like the one we just had, that's a time. I mean, there was a lot of talk when Trump was president about unprecedented things, you know, very unpresidential things. Not very presidential. The, you know, he was eating ice cream, didn't give everyone else a second scoop. Not very presidential. On a weekend like the one we just had, that might be the time to put away your partisan jabs, you know. It also might be the time to make some remarks, but obviously that's out of the question for Joe. But it's crazy how he breaks, for someone who was supposed to bring back normalcy and usher in unity, he breaks a lot of presidential norms. He bashes Republicans on the weekend of 9/11 while he's lecturing us all about unity. And when he goes overseas, they always say, like, politics stops at the water's edge. He talks about how, you know, how much the Neanderthals and grandma killers suck in the United States. He doesn't care where he is. He's really a bad guy. And when we look at this, it's kind of amazing that, and I've mentioned this before, a lot of people are saying it now, but it's a strange time to live in when an administration talks more kindly about the Taliban than they do about unvaccinated Americans. And I, you know what? I put that in even simpler terms. They're nicer to the Taliban than they are for people who didn't vote for them. Because that's what it is. It has nothing to do with vaccinated, unvaccinated. We're going to move on to something else, you know, in a month. If they get everyone vaccinated because they're threatening to fire them, there'll be something else. I was talking to Hallie about this today. He said, it's not about the vaccine. It's about breaking people. It's about controlling people. It's about, you know, owning people and knowing that they'll do whatever you want. And they'll move on to something else. But it's a strange time we live in where Joe Biden seems to have more compassion for terrorists and terrorist organizations than he does for people who live in Florida and might be a fan of Ron DeSantis. He has no patience for that. But with the Taliban, it's like, we're going to assess how they feel. You know, we're going to issue maybe a sternly worded press statement, but we're going to give them time and see where they assess themselves in the international community. Then he talks about people who don't want to get the vaccine, and it's lights out. He's angry. That's a strange thing. And it really goes back to, I got to give credit here. I know I'm mentioning Fox a lot. Greg Gutfeld a few months ago had pinpointed this, and I never thought of it this way, but it's really true. He said, you know, Donald Trump got a lot of flack from people. But Donald Trump, when he made speeches, when he took aim at enemies, he was always talking about the media. He thought the media was incredibly dishonest. But he never went after Democrat Americans who didn't vote for him. He wasn't like holding a grudge against people who didn't vote for him because he was president at that point. He went after the media as the enemy of the people, and everyone was outraged. Now, this president goes after half the country as the enemy of the people, and nobody says boo. It's really weird. We're seeing, as time goes on, how much people have forgotten, and hopefully, I encourage everyone, before I go to break here, I just want to say this one more time, and we are going to move on throughout the course of the day to other things, but if you didn't get the chance over the weekend to remember 9/11 and to watch some of those videos and to really, even if it's sad and horrific to watch, to remind yourself of that day and how awful it was and to remind your kids. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Remind the next generation. Remind people who weren't alive for it. Show them the videos so they understand. I really encourage you to do it. It's not too late just because it's, you know, Monday. Keep watching those. I think people should watch them once a month to have it fresh in their minds. But share it with people who maybe don't understand it, because it's very important that we do understand it and that we do remember and that we actually never forget, not that we just don't tweet out never forget and then move on with our lives. All right, now we're going to go to break here, 844-500-4242. Really looking forward to having the callers weigh in today. I think it's going to be a fun day full of calls. And before we go to break, though, Jared, did you smell Howie's fish cakes when he heated them up last week?
How could I not? I'm pretty sure they smelled them down in Florida.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. And if that had been, you know, a year ago before we had the thunderstorm, it might have lasted all day. It might have been the situation where I would have had to call the mailroom manager and say, this cannot stand.
Yes, Grace would have been on remote that day. We would have made it happen.
Yeah, I might have taken a sick day. That's how brutal that smell is. But fortunately, with the thunderstorm, it was short-lived. In less than an hour, the smell was totally gone. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of Eden Pure's best-selling products. And now Eden Pure is offering my listeners a special Thunderstorm 3-pack. One user writes, I'm very surprised at how well the small unit works. Well, you shouldn't be, because it's a great product. It's small, but it's powerful. I'll hold it up for the Rumble cam so everyone can see it. And right now you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. That means you'll get three units for under $200 and you'll save $200. You can put one in your basement, one in your car, one in your kitchen. You'll have tons of the products and they really do work. They're phenomenal. It's been months now. We've been talking about the thunderstorm. Everyone asks me, Facebook message, when I go to parties, they say, does the thunderstorm really work? Yes, I'm telling you right now, you can trust me. I'm not like the others. The best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which of course saves you time and money. All right, now this is what you have to do. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name and use code word GRACE3. I see the lines are already lighting up. I'm happy to take your calls. We have a lot to discuss. I missed Friday, so we have a lot of catching up to do. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We're talking a little bit about the weekend and the footage that a lot of people were watching, the ceremonies. A lot of very moving things were happening, both at baseball games, on news channels, movies. A lot of people were paying respect to all of the lives that were lost on 9/11 and to all the first responders who ran into the buildings when everyone else was running out. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me, you know, how heroic and brave people are. That is something that should stun you every time you watch it, because, you know, you can't fall for what the media tells us, that we're all divided and that we're, you know, half the country's evil because they're grandma killers and they don't want to get vaccinated. That's not the case. It's the greatest country in the world, and there's a lot of brave people in it. And it's important that we say never forget, but we actually mean never forget. Christopher, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Christopher.
Grace, I'm just flabbergasted with what George W. Bush said over the weekend, his comments seeming to equate the Capitol incident with September 11. I think he should be ashamed of himself, and I know that he was extremely disrespectful, like, to the first responders you were just mentioning. He put in a cheap, pointless, disgusting political point to ingratiate himself with people like Clinton and Obama. And
yeah, Christopher, can I stop you there? And I'm going to bring you back on for one sec, but I want to play that for my listeners in case people miss this. George Bush did make a speech. I think he was in Pennsylvania, and Christopher's absolutely right. It was a cheap shot. He wanted to compare the domestic extremists to the foreign terrorists in his 9/11 speech. And let's play this cut too.
And we have seen growing evidence that the dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within. There is little cultural overlap between violent extremists abroad and violent extremists at home. But in their disdain for pluralism, in their disregard for human life, in their determination to defile national symbols, they are children of the same foul spirit, and it is our continuing duty to confront them.
Yeah, and Christopher is absolutely right. I mean, and Christopher, what Ben Shapiro wrote about that, I thought hit the nail on the head. And it goes to your point about him trying to, you know, get in and be friends with Michelle Obama and Bill Clinton. Ben Shapiro said there was great irony to watching Democrats who spent 8 years labeling George W. Bush as a war criminal, a fool, and a racist, now cheering him on as he issues calls for unity. The fact that Bush never saw that is how we got Trump. Go ahead, Christopher.
Well, I always take it back with my friends to what happened at the Minnesota police station when it was burnt down last summer, and the mayor, Jacob Fry, of Minneapolis, decided to tell the police to leave. I mean, Bush wasn't talking about the people who burnt down that police station or the people who attacked the Portland Federal Courthouse on the West Coast. I think it was for 60 or 70 days straight. He didn't mention any of these people. He mentioned the weird, silly, sort of funny guy who was carrying Nancy Pelosi's lectern and waving to the cameras. I'm not condoning what happened on January 6th, but to equate them, to even suggest they are remotely similar to September 11, these people, Bush and many other people, they should be absolutely ashamed of themselves.
I totally agree. I think you just put it really well. I mean, there's no comparison. It's impossible to equate the two, and trying to do it is very dishonest. And it's very disrespectful, especially to the families, that on the 20th anniversary, the least you can do if you're going to be such a jerk is just stay silent. Like, if you think that thought in your head, oh, the two are kind of similar, first of all, you're dumb. But second of all, just keep it to yourself. Better to be thought a fool and remain silent than open your mouth, say something incredibly insane, and remove all doubt. Thank you for the call, Christopher. I see everybody else on the lines, 844-500-4242. We will get back to this There was a lot of dumb takes. We're also going to talk about the federal mandate. I want to hear what you guys think. Joe Biden saying you got to get vaxxed or you're going to get axed. 844-500-4242. We'll take more calls after this.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We're going to talk a little bit here about the federal vaccine mandates. We're also going to talk about some of the craziest stories I saw over the weekend involved young people and their response to 9/11, which will really destroy your faith in this country. But don't let it, because these kids, I have to assume they're the minority when it comes to their take. I know a lot of young patriotic conservatives, actually, who were posting all this weekend about 9/11. But then you do see stories about students, a student senator at, I think, Washington University, throwing out all of the flags into a trash bag. At a Washington high school, they canceled the red, white, and blue patriot theme for a football game because they thought it was going to offend people. There are some stories that really make you scratch your head and go, how did we get here? But then again, most of the news I see nowadays makes me think, how did we get here? Joe Biden giving out medical advice while he's walking around trying to remember where he is or how to get inside the White House without wandering into the bushes. That also makes me think, how did we get here? You know, John Kerry tweeting out that he's at a climate summit in India. And you're thinking, in India, as Stephen Miller put it, how'd you get there, John? Probably from a plane. A lot of this stuff is the hypocrisy. My dad put it like this over the weekend. He said, It's not that we're dealing with double standards. It's how much hypocrisy are we willing to take? You know, and apparently it's a lot. Our threshold is a lot. 844-500-4242. We got a lot of people on the line. Let's go to Nick. Nick, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Grace. Thank you for speaking with me. Two things within the last 8 or 9 days. One from what Matt Walsh podcast referred to as a rotting bag of oatmeal, that would be the president, indicated that vaccinated people, their health is being threatened by unvaccinated people. Oh, my God, I thought it was a vaccination. That's what I'm saying. Number two, the other apparent imbecile, two of these guys both think we're as dumb as they think we are. We are not. We are smarter than they are. And that includes Fauci. You can go up and down and look at his resume and stuff, but, you know, a lot of things make it through life and they're not true. If he's an epidemiologist and I'm a dog catcher, okay, he said as late as yesterday that vaccinated people on a plane, you should not be allowed on a plane with vaccinated people. Why? Who would that be threatening? Would that be threatening the vaccinated people? So let's admit it. What I want to know, Grace, is what is that magic window? 2 cycles, 3 cycles. Let's say it's going to be three, four month cycles. Well, what is that magic window when you're actually impervious to giving it or catching it? Okay, so we don't know.
Well Nick, hold on. Let me stop you there because you did bring up a lot of good points there. And Fauci did have a very busy weekend. And I do want to play that cut of what he said about being vaxxed on an airplane. This is cut 15.
I would support that. If you want to get on a plane and travel with other people, that you should be vaccinated.
And he's been going back and forth on a lot of this. He actually, there's a flashback. And when I say flashback, you know, we used to play flashbacks of like Bill Clinton talking about immigration in the 90s. That's a couple, you know, that's a long, a good amount of time for a flashback. Fauci's flashbacks are like 6 weeks, 6 months. I mean, these don't go back years. They just, he changes his mind so often that we have fresh flashbacks. They're all in, you know, HD. That you can tell that they're from this decade. This is Dr. Fauci in July of 2020. Listen to what he said about a national mandate for vaccines, cut 13.
So I can see individual institutions mandating a vaccine. I don't see it on a national level, merely because of all the situations you have upon encroaching upon a person's freedom to make their own choice of their own health.
Freedom. Freedom. Bleep your freedom. Isn't that what Howard Stern said? And since when is Fauci concerned with this
with this liberty thing, this independent spirit that Americans seem to be so obsessed with.
So interesting how time has changed. And I love how Nick was bringing up, you know, the how it's so illogical. But that's this entire virus is illogical. It hits you if you're standing up at a restaurant, but not if you're sitting down. If you're going the right way in a grocery aisle, you're good to go. But if you're not eating peanuts on the plane, watch out. It's going to come for you. There's a lot of things that don't make any sense about this. But what it really comes down to is we have all gotten into a horrible habit of thinking that each time we give a little bit of freedom, we'll get something back. We'll get our normal lives back. And it's a bad trade-off because that's not their end game. Their end game isn't to ever go back to normal. Their end game is to keep convincing you to give up these liberties until you have none left. And we're going to have Libby Emmons on from the Postmillennial at 105. And she writes, we have to stop thinking in this country. And she summarized a way that I didn't even realize I felt until she said it, which is we tend to think we're immune to authoritarianism in this country. Like we don't think it's actually ever, we talk about it. You know, there's think pieces about, oh, you can't give away your freedoms and oh, this is how it starts. But most of us really think that there's something special here, that that's never going to happen. You know, we guffaw it. Oh, please, you know. Yeah, we might have to show a passport, but it's for the good of the people. You know, you don't want to get people sick. Show your vaccine passport. But what Libby's pointing out is this is how it always starts. It starts with these invisible things that you feel like it's a little encroaching on your freedoms, but it's not that in your face. That's how it starts. It doesn't start with the Gestapo like coming at your door with weapons. It starts slowly. You know, until you wake up one day and you're living in a whole different country. And we'll talk to Libby about that. Jim, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. Well, I'm holding up my vaccine card to speak to you.
Oh, good. Right? I was going to say, I thought it was going to come through the speaker there.
All right. I don't know what program I heard, but I heard that the mandate, U.S. postal workers, all 600,000 of them, are exempt from this.
All right, so I'm...
Did you hear anything about that?
Yes, Jim, I'm very glad you brought this up because I was going to get to this at some point, but there's nothing better than when a caller just tees it up for me. I was very confused about this as well. There was reports on Friday that the United States Postal Service workers were exempt from the vaccines. And this got a lot of people riled up because, you know, all these unions are forced to do this. And then all of a sudden, the postal workers... And what I had heard from people over the weekend who weren't sure... And it was tongue in cheek, but people were saying, hey, they're not going to anger the same men and women who are dropping off all these mail in ballots. If they want to be exempt, they can be exempt. And I thought, oh, that does make a lot of sense. But it turns out today, Jim, a story came out that they're not exempt. Let me clarify this. I'm actually just going to read it from the New York Post so that I don't mess any of this up, because I was in Howie's office. We were going back and forth and I was a little bit confused here. The U.S. Postal Service workers will have to get a COVID-19 vaccine or be tested weekly after President Biden mandated the shot for federal workers, despite an earlier report claiming that more than 600,000 letter carriers and staff were exempt. That's the report Jim is referring to, and it was circulating. It was on some legit news organizations were saying that they were exempt. The White House issued a clarification late Thursday after the Washington Post, citing an official, reported that USPS workers were not required to get the shot and were only being strongly encouraged to. The president also announced a new Labor Department policy requiring workers at private companies with 100 employees or more get vaccinated or submit to weekly testing with fines up to $14,000 per violation. So basically, Jim, what's happening is unlike federal workers that are going to not have the option to test weekly, federal workers are being told you get vaxxed or you get axed. The USPS is falling under the same rules as businesses with 100 employees or more, which those rules are you get vaccinated or you have to get tested weekly. That's just a little clarification. I understand why it was confusing. It was mostly because the Washington Post got a bad report about this, or, you know, a false report that United States postal workers were going to be exempt. And I was amazed by that because I'm like, damn, USPS union guys, they know how to get this done. But it wouldn't make any sense. I mean, there's no way that you could exempt them and then tell other businesses that they have to do this. So that's an interesting thing. I hope that answers your question, Jim. The vaccine debate is something where I guess my question for the audience and for the listeners is, if you haven't already been vaccinated and your work is requiring it. Now, I'm vaccinated. I have no problem with the vaccine. I encourage people to get it, especially if you're vulnerable. But there are people who don't want to get it. And we live in a country where that is your personal freedom. That is your personal choice. You should be able to decide what you put in your body. But my real question here, and it's pretty specific, and I don't know how many people could really call in. But if you do not want to get the vaccine and you're adamant that you do not want to get it and you work for a place that's requiring it, are you willing to quit the job? And anecdotally, what I've tended to see is that people will, I hate to use the word submit, but people will kind of bend the knee and just get the jab rather than uproot their lives or try to find new work or get a new job. They'll just kind of go, all right, I think this is terrible. I think it's morally wrong that they're doing this, but I'm going to give in because it's too much of a hassle. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I tend to see from people, is that even if they put up a fight, eventually when push comes to shove, they will get the vaccine. 844-500-4242. But we're already seeing, which is really interesting, and this is really worth discussing, we're seeing that hospital workers are... some of them are very adamant and they're standing very strong and they're leaving their hospitals. There's a crazy story, and I'll find it here. I think it's out of New York where they're having staffing shortages. The mail room manager sent me this morning, and it's really hard, especially in maternity wards, because they don't have enough people helping with the mothers who are trying, the birthing people who are trying to deliver. They don't have a lot of people left in those wings of the hospital. So they're having staffing shortages. And I was discussing this earlier with the mailroom manager, and she put it really well. She said, they feel like they've gone from being the heroes of this pandemic to the villains. And a woman had said that, I'll try to find this cut during the break. A nurse had said this at a meeting. She said, I'm paraphrasing here, but she said, you guys had no problem putting us in harm's way when you needed us at the hospitals before there was even a vaccine. You had no problem having us work. You know, we were essential workers. We were coming in. We were dealing with people. We were changing the beds. Like, they were the frontline workers of this. And I'm sure a lot of them got COVID from trying to help people. And she said, you had no problem with it. You had us in here all day long working our butts off. And now that you have a vaccine, suddenly we're persona non grata. Suddenly we can't walk in the door without getting it. Suddenly we're like lepers and you're not going to let us near. How does that make any sense? We're good enough for you before you have a vaccine, but you're going to fire us if we don't take the vaccine once you have it. It really does make you kind of, it puts it in a real way, because you're like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. They really had zero issue with you until they developed a vaccine and suddenly they're afraid of you. I'll try to find that cut. It was really good. Let's go to Debbie. Debbie, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Debbie.
How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. So, Governor Baker, nobody's talking about Governor Baker putting in mandates for all state employees by mid-October, and all of the contract vendors. Either you get a vax by this time or you lose your job. But yeah, Baker's a rhino, and he is for vaccines, and he's mandating it. I wouldn't have to get one as a contractor if he wasn't mandating it, but we do. The other part is that the healthcare organizations have gotten together because I tried asking for a medical exemption. Mm-hmm. And the only medical exemption is anaphylactic shock. They will not give you with that. And I called up, and it was Atrius, and I'll put them out there. It was Atrius, and they basically said, yes, we got together with a lot of the larger health organizations, and they have told their doctors, you can't write exemption.
Yeah, that it's an interesting conversation to have. We saw this in Massachusetts, especially with some Catholic schools. And they, you know, the Catholic, I think it was Boston College, said, you know, that we don't count that as a religious exemption. We really are getting into territory here where you have to imagine there's going to be some lawsuits. Thank you for the call, Debbie. 844-500-4242. Going to end this segment here because we have a lot of people on the line, and we'll take you after the break. The Tour of Italy wine dinners are back this fall at Aviva Trattoria. Join Chef Anthony De Palma, the Aviva culinary team, and Martignetti Wines for a four-course wine dinner featuring good wines and delicious food from various regions of Italy. I had a wonderful time at this dinner in Malden with my sister. We were sitting there on cloud nine saying to Marcy from Aviva, anytime you want us to come to one of these, we're in. And we were talking to our family about it so much that finally everyone said, all right, well, how can we get in on one of these dinners? And I said, oh, they're sold out. Sorry about that. But I have good news. Mom and Dad, if you're listening, this is for you. They have two new dinners. And here's the deal. The first dinner will be at the Aviva in Westford on Tuesday, September 14th at 6 p.m. Again, that's the Aviva in Westford on Tuesday, September 14th at 6 p.m. And the second dinner will be at the Aviva in Wrentham on Tuesday, September 21st at 6 p.m. These are really fun events. The food is delicious. Chef Anthony makes it a real culinary experience, tells you all about the different food. They have a guitar player. It's really a festive night, and it's a little bit of fun that I think we could all use, especially after this last year and a half. A list of the Aviva events are on their homepage at avivatrattoria.com. To purchase tickets, simply click the menu and tickets button below the event that you wish to attend. We'll be right back with more of your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will you quit your job if they require you to get the vaccine?
It's tough for me because I'm already vaccinated. I don't think I would if I'm, you know, I'm always, I try to be as honest as I can be with the listeners. I know myself, I might go path of least resistance. I know that's bad. I'm not proud of that, but I have a feeling I would just get it.
We are at 50-50 on this one, completely split down the middle.
That's a good poll question, if I do say so myself. All right, Ted, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ted.
Hi, Grace. Thank you for taking my call. Grace, I am so triggered by the remarks. I'm sorry, my other phone's off. Of President Bush.
Oh, hold on, Ted. Can I just make a comment? I like that. Is that Dropkick Murphys you got going there? The ringtone?
It's my ringtone. My daughter says it's obnoxious. But...
I like it. All right, go ahead, Ted.
Anyway, I'm so triggered by the remarks of President Bush. You know, I was in New York City on 9/11. I saw the bodies. I saw the people jumping from the buildings. I saw the buildings come down. When I left work that evening, you could smell the rancid smell of death, of incinerated bodies up as far as 30th Street. And, you know, my Vietnam veteran cousin told me I would smell that. And he says, you'll never forget that. And it's so horrible. For him to equate what he did, I held my nose twice and voted for that man. Because, you know, he wasn't a great conservative, but he was the best of choice at the time. And his family broke their pledge to vote for the nominee in 2016, the whole family. They didn't vote for President Trump either time. And I said, okay, they hate Trump because he destroyed them. But now it's obvious that the Bushes hate us.
Well, but Ted, I'm glad... Hold on, Ted, because I don't want to forget this, and I'm glad you brought this up. Someone said to me this weekend, you know, and you're absolutely right. What George Bush said was reprehensible, but it also does show you that Trump really did break him, and he broke that whole family because they can't get over the fact that he walloped Jeb Bush and embarrassed all of them. But it doesn't excuse that comparison because Ted hit the nail on the head. It is disgusting to even try to say that. And expect people to buy it is just gross. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is Grace Curley Show.